You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What's up? It's hour three of In This League. 3 hours of ITL action right at you. You thought it couldn't get better. It didn't, because it's 3 hours of it, but maybe it's...
Hey, the Welsh.
Hey.
Shut up and dribble.
Shut up and dribble. Yeah, shut up and podcast. We don't want to hear your opinions on anything. Shut up and dribble.
Shut up and do a radio show.
Laura Ingraham is the worst. The worst. I'm not going to get into details, but... I have experience in this vicinity. She's the worst. And what a dumbass. Just keep
look
to yourself.
Look who's on TV, mama. It's
you know
the
what?
Devil.
Yeah, why don't you stick to being an a-hole on TV and don't talk about other people and any of their other stuff? What did she say? She's like, stick to dribbling the ball and get out of politics? What are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't know. It's not that surprising that NBA athletes are against Donald Trump. You know, a lot of people are against Donald Trump, and no one is afraid to share their thoughts on Twitter, which is, you know, whatever. I mean, we don't care about that kind of stuff. You know, we care about sports, you know. To say that, you know, a regular person doesn't have a right to voice their opinion on whatever it is a stupid thing to say, especially for a journalist.
Well, you want to know what's amazing too? I mean, that no shocker here, but Laura Ingraham made LeBron James likable. Like, think about that for a minute. Who likes LeBron James? LeBron James is one of the least likable people in the NBA with all his weird garbage, his reading The Godfather.
I'm like neutral on LeBron. I don't love LeBron. I don't hate LeBron. He's really, really good basketball player.
He's a good basketball player, but he's just not likable.
Oh. So what are you saying? Are you saying he should shut up and dribble?
I'm not saying any of that. It's amazing. But what it did was it took the most unlikable of people to make LeBron James be the hero and the likable person. So credit to her, I guess. Credit to her. And LeBron James is likable. How about this? I got a second thing for you. LeBron James, two huge wins. Laura Ingraham makes him look like a superstar. And then Steph Curry made him look
better than Steph Curry, the Welsh. I don't know if you knew that.
What's what?
We are better than Steph Curry.
How?
Well, because we air our drafts. We put them out for everyone to see.
We
did
do.
So Adam Silver said that Steph Curry is the reason that they didn't air it, because he said, hey, look, give me a break. This is the first time we're doing this. We don't know how it's going to go. So let's just do it behind closed doors. And if it goes well, next year we'll televise it.
And
so this was actually Steph Curry's idea.
And the two people were LeBron and Curry making the picks. And Curry's the one that made the draft not viewable.
So LeBron gets so much more likable because it was Curry's horrible idea to not say. And
yes,
by the way, the guys who got picked last were announced. It was Aldridge and it was Horford, and then Aldridge was the very last pick.
Essentially, so we're saying Steph Curry is Laura Ingraham. That's what we're saying here.
I don't know if he's that bad, but he is the reason. So, I mean, there are plenty of people that don't like Steph Curry already because, you know, the Warriors keep winning and it's annoying and all that stuff. But I like Steph Curry, but I thought this was kind of a, I don't know, this was a very wuss move.
Yeah, I didn't understand it. Like, just air the whole thing. It'd have been funny because it's the first time. And LeBron is such a, like, him being on there, like, he'd be so weird about it. Like, what did you not want to be viewed? When you don't take your teammates and you take other players?
100%.
Give me
that's
a break.
It.
I guess what? They're going to know when they're not on your team.
That's true, but at least I think, you know, LeBron had the first pick, so you can say, no, he took you, KD, first.
Well, LeBron traded all his teammates, so none of his, he's not worried about drafting any of his teammates because none of them are there.
Yeah, LeBron was too busy building a real team. He didn't need to. He didn't need to build a all-star team as well. But yeah, I mean, it would have been a really cool thing to see that draft, you know, especially when, you know, everybody clowning on the guy that gets picked last and all that stuff. And it would have been fun to air, but Steph Curry is the fun police.
Yeah,
he's the fun police in this.
And that's weird because he's Mr. Showboat. He's Mr. Shake Them Shoulders and don't look as the ball gets in, but I can't have the draft be viewed because, oh, yeah, it's the first time, guys. Who cares the first time? Doesn't matter. What's going to happen on there?
Yeah. We aired our first mock draft.
I remember my first beer. I know. Totally. By the way, LeBron responded.
I laughed so hard that one to fill off my dinosaur.
LeBron responded to Laura Ingraham in a Instagram post with a light up wall that says, "I am more than an athlete."
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I never got
that. Hashtag, we will not shut up and dribble.
I can't remember what I was listening to, but I was listening to a podcast and they said, you know, anyone who says to a celebrity or a person of fame or whatever, shut up and stick to whatever your job is. Well, dude, you're the guy bagging groceries at Safeway. Why don't you shut up and stick to bagging groceries, stupid?
I totally agree. Dude,
thing to say.
We've been hit with that before. We've been hit with the Alex Jones stuff. The guy's a psychopath. He's crazy. That's my Alex Jones impression. And
Alex Jones is going to go. I mean, he's probably already done it. What has he said about the tragedy that happened on Valentine's
Day? I don't even want to go there. I don't know. Right. It's always going to be nothing is real. Nothing
actually
happened.
What I'm saying is that dude will say that that's a government conspiracy. And we got smacked for saying something about this psycho, you know, who denies all
this. Well, we just said we're going to talk about it. And someone was like, oh, you're going to. And then like iTunes reviews, like getting upset about it.
Got a funny one. Somebody's like, don't talk about politics at all. I want to hear about is how miserable the Welsh is and how fat Bogman is. And that's it.
You're
like, stick to
every week. You can get that every week. But you know what? Don't tell me to stick to anything. That's I agree. I am. Again, Laura Ingraham has made LeBron James 1,000 times more likable because I agree.
But Steph Curry, LeBron wins. Yeah. He wins this week.
Don't tell. Yeah, he won All-Star Weekend. Don't tell anybody to just stick to anything because no, you don't get to do that. As you said, You're this guy over here doing two scoops of ice cream for people. You stick to your ice cream. Don't tell me what to do. And LeBron just is the same way. And it's nationally publicized. And look at LeBron now. Like I said, he is the king. The king has officially arrived, not just through the game, but Steph Curry made him look good. Laura Ingraham made him look good. But even LeBron can't make the All-Star game look good because it is horrible.
It's terrible. I need to ask you a question, though. Who has the best record in the NBA right now? The Houston Rockets.
Yeah. That doesn't
get old. Half a game better than the Warriors. That's right. 44-13. Warriors are 44-14. How do you like that?
How do you like them apples? I don't necessarily.
10 straight. I mean, 110 straight, the Welsh.
It's great. I'm happy for you. Basketball season is it's a lost cause.
Utah has won 11 straight, and they're still in 10th.
Really?
In West, yeah, they've won 11 straight.
What's the West look like right now? Do you have it?
I've got it up. It's the Rockets, Warriors, Spurs. The Spurs are 10 games behind the Rockets. So they're 9.5 games behind the Warriors. So that's, it's, you know, Houston and Golden State and then everybody else. Minnesota has they're both 10 games back. They have one more win and one more loss in San Antonio. Then it's Oklahoma City at 5, Denver at 6, Portland at 7, New Orleans at 8. But right in there also, the Clippers are at 9. They're a half game behind New Orleans. Utah is at, they're 30-28. They're 14.5 back, so they would be a game and a half behind New Orleans. So, and Rudy Gobert guaranteed the playoffs the other day. I don't know if you heard that. No. But he said, oh, yeah, we'll be in the playoffs. Don't worry about it.
I think Minnesota is a dark horse here. I'm kind of excited about Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, right now, you would get a Minnesota-Oklahoma City series to start it.
Oh,
that'd be
man.
Nice, right?
Do you think the Rockets can beat the Warriors in a 7-game series? Don't be a homer for a minute and think logically.
Yeah. I mean, I think they can. Will they? I wouldn't put money on it. I would say that they absolutely, the Rockets can beat any team in the NBA this season. I think this is the best team that they put together so far. And I definitely didn't think that when they played the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals 2 years ago, they had no business being there. You know, and they should have gone. I thought they were going to get to the Western Conference Finals last year and get bounced by the Warriors, and they got smacked by the Spurs. So they had no business being there either. But I think this, you know, best record at the break over the Warriors, I think they can play with anybody. So
Joe Johnson, Brendan Wright, that put them over, those big acquisitions.
No, I think Chris Paul put them over.
Yeah, it's true. It's annoying. All these teams are absolutely annoying. They're the LeBron James of the NBA. It's all stupidly, stupidly annoying.
How weird was it not setting your lineup today, by the way? No lineup set at all today. Very strange.
Not too much different than the last couple weeks with how my records have been.
Oh, boo.
About the same how I've been. Nah, I mean, it's a little bit different. Just the difference was, like, I had the panic attack, and I was like, oh, I don't need to change it. Instead of, like, panic attack, and I was like, oh, I didn't change it for 3 days, but it doesn't change my record. So
apparently, Team USA put on a dunk contest at the end of the Rising Star Games.
Oh, really?
They just randomly did a dunk contest with some of the Rising Stars. So I have to...
Yeah, Bogdan won MVP of the Rising Stars.
My cousin!
Yeah, one of the
Bogdanovich.
Bogmanovich from Bogmanville.
Bogmanovich is definitely one of my team names. We actually have a bet the Welsh did. I mean, this is kind of a stupid bet, right?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't remember that we put a bet on the dunk contest, 3-point contest, and skills challenge?
Yeah. I thought it had something to do with your cousin, Bogman Bogmanovich.
No. No cousin bets here. But, yeah, we really stupidly have a bet.
I kind of wish we didn't.
Yeah, me too. All right. Want to call it off?
Maybe. Probably.
Let's call it. Let's do $20 instead. How about that?
Let's do a dollar. Let's do a dollar.
We're either going to do $20 or we're going to stick to this food.
Well, explain it what it is. What was the bet?
Well, we randomly kind of, because we didn't know we were going to bet on it, picked winners for the dunk contest, the 3-point contest, and the skills challenge.
Yeah.
So I did like that I picked Dennis Smith Jr. in the dunk contest, and he opened up as the favorite.
Yeah, I'm not happy about that. Donovan, he was talking smack too, and Donovan Mitchell, they asked him, like, hey, you going to clap back? And he's like, nah, he jumps higher than me. And I was like, come on, Donovan. Come on, man. I feel like I have a really good, because I got Mitchell, you got you've got stupid Dennis Smith Jr. But in the 3-point contest, I feel like I've got a leg up because on the basketball podcast, we did a snake draft getting two apiece, but we had to do a trade because you had the first pick. You took Klay Thompson. I took Devin Booker and Eric Gordon, and you freaked out thinking you didn't get Eric Gordon, so then you traded me Klay, and
I just thought you'd never take Eric Gordon because you don't like him.
But he won last year.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's, I mean, hey, I have the leg up there too.
Well, you got Wayne Ellington as your other guy you decided to pick.
That was before I knew we were doing a bet. But hey, Wayne Ellington's been knocking down a bunch of threes in games.
Yeah, what was this? I don't even remember who did we pick in the skills.
I know I went with the small guys and you went with the big guys. I picked
Horford,
Jamal Murray.
Joel Embiid, yeah.
I picked Jamal Murray and the other guy. Who are the contestants? Pull it up real quick.
I feel like this is something we should cancel now, by the way.
Let's just go $20 instead of the original bet is the Welsh has to eat a bulb of garlic or a clove or whatever the small one is. And
they got odds up here.
I have to eat three disgusting black olives that I hate, and I'll probably vomit.
Yeah, this is great, by the way. We got some odds on here. So, in the skills competition, Lou Williams is the favorite.
That's who I picked. I picked Lou Williams and Jamal Murray.
Great. Oh, there's a video on here, too. Let's turn that off. you've got Lou Williams. Joel Embiid is number two at plus 300. Lauri Markkanen, plus 400. Al Horford, plus 480. Jamal Murray is second to last, Bogman, plus 1050.
Well, real quick, Wayne Ellington, fifth in threes in the NBA.
Okay,
for total this year.
You want the 3-point contest?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Odds. All right. Klay Thompson is the favorite at plus 150.
Okay.
Kyle Lowry is second, plus 325. You decided not to take Lowry and take Ellington. Eric Gordon is third, plus 400.
All right.
Devin Booker's down here at plus 1,000. Wayne Ellington's above Booker. Wayne Ellington's plus 700.
Wayne Ellington, fifth in the league in three-pointers. He has 168.
Dunk contest, Dennis Smith is the favorite, minus 105.
Oh, okay.
Oladipo, plus 150. Larry Nance, plus 225. Donovan Mitchell, plus 350.
What? I saw today that Mitchell was second.
This is on CBS Sports.
We did have a stipulation in there. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
Our guys have to win one of them. If none of our guys win any of them, bets off.
Yeah.
And if we tie, like if Klay Thompson wins and Dennis Smith wins, then it would also be off. So I say we do this. $10.
Okay. I was going to do one of two things. We can do that. We can do $10 or we can offer the buyout option. You can either one of us, if we lose, you can either do the bet or do the buyout.
Well, I'm definitely going to do the buyout. So, and you are too. So why would we even bother with the buyout?
Well, because I might eat
black olives if I can pay $10 and up.
Depends how I'm feeling. I feel sick right now, but maybe I'm not feeling so sick.
You're going to eat the garlic? You're going to eat the garlic and not pay $10. I mean, you are not.
We'll
that
do $10. We'll do $10. That's fine.
Okay.
All right. $10. There you go. All right. Okay. Big money. $10 on the line for this. You guys can monitor. Make sure to listen to the.
Yeah, but whoever wins is going to brag for the 100%. Next 100%. So, I mean, come on.
So make sure you're listening to the In This League Fantasy Basketball podcast so you can hear the results of what happens here, because it's going to get messy. It's going to get dirty. All right. We got some football to talk about. Little Johnny Football. Maybe making a comeback. I don't know about that. We got Bogman's coverage of the NFL draft, and he listed his initial ranks over at the ITL Army, patreon.com/ITL Army, for you dynasty heads that are trying to get ahead of the game. And there's a lot of others. AJ McCarron won a lawsuit against a team. That's crazy. All right, don't go anywhere. Scott Bogman, Chris Welsh, In This League, InThisLeague.com. We'll be back.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Can't believe what fell. All your dreams just pops down the drain. Let's play some
In This League.
Yeah, back at it.
I love that.
Yeah, a little EDM. Let's play some cards.
Let's play some effing cards.
You know they're talking about doing a second one?
No.
Yeah, they're talking about like a rant. I don't know if it was like Rounders 2 or it's going to be like some pre. I mean, I assume it's going to be Rounders 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
I mean, all of the guys. The great thing, they're all still around. Malkovich, Edward Norton, Matt Damon, all those guys.
None of them have sexually harassed or.
Not yet.
Any of that stuff.
Not yet.
Wasn't Matt Damon accused of it or cheating on his wife or something?
Matt Damon was definitely accused of something. Per
Matt
usual.
Matt Damon.
I would like the new Rounders to be heavily focused on Edward Norton. Even though I hate that he's like known in the scope of like the movie industry as being the biggest pain in the ass to work with. Like,
oh, is he really?
Yeah, oh, yeah, dude. You ever watch those get in like a YouTube loop? I think it's by Looper, and it's called The Reasons Why Edward Norton is like, you know, blackballed. And it's just because the guy is an egomaniac. He wants to control everything. He makes do reshoots. When he was the Incredible Hulk before Ruffalo took over.
Right.
But he was such a pain in the ass. He was changing stuff in the movie, and they're like, no, you're not going to do that. You're not going to do those things. Yeah, he was a hell on an American History X. The 25th Hour, which is just a great movie. Everything he does, he's such a great actor, but he's a big pain in the ass. But I don't care. All I want to do is see Rounders. All I want to see is Rounders again. I want to see old ass Malkovich. I want the movie to start with him like getting back at them. Ooh, maybe they just killed Matt Damon. They can kill Matt Damon. Malkovich
can. Matt Damon?
Yeah, I'm rewriting the script. They'll kill Matt Damon. We don't need the good guy in it. And we need a reclamation project from Edward Norton to come back. And I want him to face John Malkovich at the end.
All right. Well, now you sound like you're Edward Norton.
And then I want
you're
Malkovich.
Just making stuff up.
And then for a marketing campaign, I want Malkovich to have like the secret taste Oreos. And he's like, let's play some cards. Ooh, lemon. Like he doesn't know what they are.
So there's ads in the middle of your movie, too.
Yeah.
You're a terrible screenwriter.
I'm pretty good. You're killing off
the main character in the first scene, and like, then we're going to follow around the bad guy who's known to be a jerk already.
It's like executive decision. Kill off Steven Seagal right off the bat.
I hate Steven Seagal, and I go into that movie, and I had no idea he was in it, an executive decision, and he dies in like the first 10 minutes. I was so happy.
I saw him at a Whole Foods, surprising, is where I see everybody. I was coming out of the Whole Foods in Scottsdale, North Scottsdale. And
What was he doing at Whole Foods? Have you seen him? He looks like me. Dude, are you sure you weren't in the Carl's Jr. drive-thru?
I swear to God. I'm walking out of Whole Foods. I was actually putting a cart away. And it's not just Steven Seagal. It's Steven Seagal in everything you see him. This was in like... Steven Seagal, he's going to like maybe run for sheriff, you know, and he's out like fighting real crime and doing that reality show. He was dressed in like black, like Navy SEAL outfit with his glasses on at night, like an a-hole. And I was just like, oh my God. And some like woman came up to him and I was just sitting there and I was like, woman, get away. He's not safe. You know, and I was just like, I was just weirded out by it. And he's also huge. He's like 6'4".
Yeah,
he's five or something.
Yeah, and he's fat.
It wasn't like super, super fat.
No?
No.
Okay.
But I mean, he didn't die in that scene, so sorry.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
That's too bad. I don't like Steven Seagal.
A lot of people don't like Johnny Manziel. And Johnny Manziel is hashtag comeback season. That's his whole little thing right now. Johnny is trying to make a comeback right now. He went on Pardon My Take, the podcast. He did a bunch of other interviews. Kind of admitted everything. I don't know if you listened to any of them. The Pardon My Take one is really interesting because the first half of it, he starts off with a lot of the stuff you expect. He's kind of keeping it, you know, like, oh, I'm just trying to better myself, blah, blah, blah. And then as they dig in, he kind of like, you can kind of hear the real Johnny Manziel that's sitting in there, the vengeful, the spiteful.
The one that puts a spliff in the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, man. Like, he talks about, I mean, he starts cussing at the end, how much he hates the NCAA. He thinks they're scumbags. And then he's just talking about the just vengefulness he still has against people. And you can hear it. And it's just like, I don't know, man. This sounds like you got a marketing team that's getting you there. And I don't know how real this is. But he's out there. He's trying to get calls. And he's going to do the, I didn't even know there was a spring league, apparently. Apparently, there's an NFL spring league that's in, like, Indianapolis or something.
I didn't know either, and I'm a huge NFL fan.
Yeah, type it in. Go.
Is it for you know? never mind. I was going to make an inappropriate joke, but yeah. I'll leave it alone.
Yeah, don't do that. here it is on Bleacher Report: Johnny Manziel to join the Spring League scouting event amid NFL comeback. He's accepted an invitation to participate in the Spring League. The Spring League, which is held inaugural season last year, is a 3-week scouting event in Austin, Texas.
Oh, I think they did didn't the NFL Network do a whole thing on that last year?
I guess.
I just didn't watch it.
It says It consists of 4 teams that play 2 games apiece and will be broadcast on Turner Sports streaming service. Manziel will play on the South team. Manziel spoke about playing in the Spring League. He said, football's been a huge part, blah, 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 all his bull crap. Yeah, just a bunch of nonsense that you just kind of don't care about. But he's on this huge... Let's see. Oh, it says previous participants in the Spring League, which I think they just said inaugural year was last year.
Yeah, last year.
Fred Jackson played in it.
Okay.
Kellen Winslow II.
Neither one of these guys got signed.
Quarterback Rick Stanzi and running back Ahmed Bradshaw. None of them made it back.
None of them signed last year.
Not one made it back.
It's a kiss of death. Get away from it, Johnny.
CEO God. Brian Woods of the Spring League said, "We're excited to have such a dynamic player in Johnny Manziel taking part in the Spring League. We believe our platform is the ideal forum for Mr. Manziel to enact his NFL comeback." I wish you would say our prestigious background of getting players back in the NFL, like nobody. Fred Jackson can't get back in. How the hell is Manziel going to get back in?
Yeah, I mean, Fred Jackson's 100 years old, and the Browns could always sign someone, or the Bengals. The Bengals seem to be making terrible decisions, so I wouldn't be surprised to see them sign Johnny Manziel. But I don't know, man. Like, you know, I anytime you see someone better themselves, it's a good thing, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to see a guy like Johnny Manziel be a meth addict, you know, especially a guy that had so much hype coming around him. Yeah, he was brash. Yes, he was a jerk. Look, I'm a Texas fan. I hated the guy's guts. I hated what he did. I hated that he put the spliff in the Heisman Trophy. I hated that he won the Heisman Trophy. The dude was just a huge jerk.
Well,
spoiled brat.
Yeah, you know, total spoiled freaking brat.
Super rich parents, complete spoiled brat.
Kind of a garbage person, and the stuff that went on with his girlfriend and how he treated people.
Not a good dude. But hopefully he can put all that stuff behind him. He's still young. And, you know, there's nothing that America loves better than a comeback story. So I hope it works out. I don't think he's good enough to be in the NFL. I think at best he's a third string quarterback.
I mean, I agree.
We saw what he had. And now maybe it wasn't the best he had because he was on drugs. But you never know.
I don't know, man. I mean, it's the same stuff you felt. He actually talked about on the Pardon My Take podcast about the you know, Josh Gordon and Josh Gordon's comeback and, you know, rooting for him and nice guy and all this type of stuff. But he even admits, he says, hey, listen, our comebacks are very different. He said, I'm not a 6'6", 240-pound freak athlete like Josh Gordon is, so I've got a ways to go.
And gotta prove it.
Yeah, and I would say that, like, self-reflection is a really important trait. But there's a part of me, I guess I'm just skeptical sometimes. Like, and you are right. I root for anybody in a comeback story, especially if you were a big screw up for many, many years. And then you can like acknowledge it and you want to change that. I'm going to root for you with that. But I just hope also that this isn't lip service where you got the type of self-reflection that you could also know what to say to people, what you need to say to people, what you need to get back. You know, there's some weird hesitations.
Beat the change, right?
Yeah, there's some weird hesitations. I didn't hear the Good Morning America stuff, but he had some weird hesitations when he was like on Pardon My Take, where, you know, they asked, are you drinking anymore? And he got quiet for a second and he's like, no. And how he said it was kind of like, nah, you might be drinking a little bit. And he's like, I just try to stay out of clubs where it gets me in trouble. And just how he said, I don't know, man. I just felt like this is a guy
definitely still drinking. Someone says, hey, are you drinking anymore? And you go, no. I mean,
I'm not going to put that on that
hey, Bogman, have you cheated on your diet? No. Not really. You know?
Well, yeah, exactly. Did you sleep with that woman? Mr. Clinton? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't put any words in his mouth, but there's just a skepticism to it. But at the end of the day, like, also, what does it matter? Like, this dude is going to play in the Spring League. He's probably going to play in the CFL. I think he's going to get an invite at some point. I think he needs to prove it. And by proving it, will be Spring League. It'll be CFL. Maybe the dude goes to the Arena League. I don't know. Maybe he even goes to the XFL. I think it's going to be a little bit, but I'll bet you he gets another opportunity, but I don't think it'll be as a starter. And that was one thing that jumped out to me. He said too, is he's like, he didn't say like, I want to be back in the NFL. He was like, I want to be back as a starter in the NFL. And I was like, that's a lofty thing there, buddy.
I mean, dude has goals. So, you know, hopefully, you know, you put down the crack pipe.
I want to be 215 pounds. I got goals too. The other one I think is really interesting before we get out of the segment, I don't want to jump past this because in the next segment, we're going to talk about, for you guys that are playing in like football dynasties, we play in a three-sport league, which is really fun, and you have to be on your game about upcoming prospects. And this will be a good thing because Bogman, as a part of our ITL Army, has put together a list of the prospects and their fantasy value that haven't even been drafted yet. So we're going to talk about that. But I didn't even realize this stuff. Talk to me about the AJ McCarron thing where he sued his team and he won.
Yeah, he filed a grievance against the Cincinnati Bengals because you remember the story earlier this year where...
Was it the trade?
Yeah, well, that was the first thing. So, or not the first thing, but the big thing. There was also a grievance where he was, I think he was placed on the IR or held out of practice or something when they said he had a shoulder injury and he didn't have a shoulder injury. So that was some shady stuff that the Bengals had going on. But I think most teams probably do stuff like that. But, I mean, he used that as fire in his grievance because what happened with this injury thing was it held he had missed games before that or he hadn't dressed for games, something along those lines. Either way it happened so that instead of him becoming a free agent this season, he would have been a restricted free agent, which is what he was scheduled to be. He's scheduled to be a restricted free agent. And the Browns offered a second and third round pick to the Bengals for AJ McCarron. And you don't hear that type of interdivision type of a trade, but Hugh Jackson was the offensive coordinator for the Bengals. He has a huge rapport with AJ McCarron, and he really wanted AJ McCarron to be the quarterback for the Bengals.
But if you remember too, the Browns internally were the ones that nixed it, wasn't it? It was like someone in the Browns.
They said they didn't
trade.
Yeah, like everything was agreed on, and somebody didn't file the proper paperwork.
Yeah, oh, that's what it was. Yeah, like exactly. It wasn't signed as the deadline went through, so it didn't happen.
Right. So that was a big bumbling mistake, and everybody laughed at the Browns. But now it seems like it could have been the Bengals just saying, "Nah, screw you. We're not going to do this trade. We're keeping you," because I think Andy Dalton is a free agent after 2018. So Dalton could be gone or traded. You know, they could have traded him. Now they have to keep Dalton because AJ McCarron won his grievance that he filed against the Bengals and will become a free agent. I mean, this could be a huge win for the Browns because they were ready to give up a second and a third round pick for AJ McCarron. Now they can just sign the dude.
Yeah. I mean, I just think that's wild. It's all these, I don't know. I'm just fascinated when players sue teams while they're in a sport. Like Dustin Fowler, if you're a baseball guy, broke his leg really badly in Chicago, and he's on the A's, and this was when he was, I think, with the Yankees.
Yeah, he was with the Yankees.
And he's suing the White Sox, the organization. But the White Sox organization in the ballpark, he's suing them. And then you get McCarron suing the Bengals. Like, I look at that stuff, and I'm like, that's kind of cool. But is there a perception that's sitting out there like, oh, this guy's going to, like a rat, you know? Like, no one likes a rat, and that kind of feels a little ratish.
No, I think the perception is the Bengals are an idiot organization run by morons, and this is what happens. I mean, you know, how long is Marvin Lewis going to coach this team? Why is he still the head coach with the Bengals? They have not won one playoff game with him. Yeah. Sure, they've had some really crappy luck, but they haven't won one game with Marvin Lewis. And, you know, it's the stuff that we talked about during the NFL season, the Welsh, where it was, you know, do you want to be the head coach? And he said, yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure. That's like the worst thing
that
ever.
Sucks,
that's like Johnny
man.
Manziel being like, he stops drinking. He's like, nah, yeah,
you
sure.
know. So, yeah, I don't know if his voice got that high, but
yeah,
I don't know if it turned into Jay Leno during the pardon my take. But
when AJ McCarron becomes a Browns is he going to be the next line of laughable Browns quarterbacks?
I mean,
when inevitably he is.
He doesn't have to go to the Browns. How about, Kirk Cousins signs somewhere else with the Jets?
No,
the Jets are going to throw they're going to back a Brinks truck up with money for him.
Cousins going to the Broncos.
But what if he doesn't? What if he goes to the Jets? Then AJ McCarron could be the quarterback of the Broncos. There's many situations that could, you know, use a guy like AJ.
If AJ McCarron was not a Brown, would you think he might border fantasy relevance in like a 16-team league?
He might border relevance with the Browns. I think he could possibly be better than Andy Dalton already. And I don't know, man. Like, he's much better than DeShone Kizer. I know that.
What a weird situation the Bengals are in, because both of their quarterbacks are free agents then. Because Dalton's a free agent.
By the way, this is just a funny side note, but I saw someone on Instagram. I think they posted it in one of our GroupMe rooms. It was some Browns blog was like, I'm tired of RG3. Why do I even follow him? And RG3 responded and said, because I'm responsible for your last win.
Murder. That's I mean, good for him for getting something, because he is the butt of every joke. Good for him for turning it on its side for once and not cheating on it as well. Or like his wife that he does. That's RG3. All right, coming back, last segment, 3 hours of ITL. We're talking NFL draft prospects and their fantasy value. Bogman's got a list. You ain't finding that many other places you will at the ITL Army. So don't go anywhere. Scott Bogman, Chris Welsh in this league on Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
In this league.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
You can listen to it in the dark wherever you want, but did you know that Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player? Flatter prize pools, smaller fields, and single-entry contests only. Fantasy Factor runs NHL and NBA free rolls every week for re-entry. Simply sign up and enter today. www.fantasyfactor.com. Go check them out. As well, if you guys haven't paid attention and listened, this is a really important thing.
Listen.
You haven't heard of DKMS. Every 3 minutes, an American is diagnosed with blood cancer. Unfortunately, only 30% of patients are able to find a compatible bone marrow donor with their family, but that's how you can help. Go to DKMS.org/fantasy today and sign up online to register as a donor. DKMS will send you a swab kit, which takes legitimately like 1 minute to do. You swab each of your cheeks, send it back to them, and that's it. You're done. DKMS will then try to match you up with a person in need of a donation. The process is easy, and best of all, you can actually save someone's life. No metaphorically doing. You're like literally saving people's lives. DKMS.org/FNTSY to go see how you can save. Get on it.
Be a hero.
Be a hero. Yeah, exactly. Be a hero. Last segment here. Bogman and I, we are talking about NFL draft prospects and how they relate to fantasy, because you are going to be inundated, I tell you, with NFL draft stuff, which is great, and it's going to be very, very beneficial, but you won't really get much of any coverage as far as how it relates to fantasy, and guess what we're doing here, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, you're not going to get a lot of that until the players have reached their teams. Rightfully so, there's a bit of legitimacy to it. But a lot of you guys that are out there in like dynasties and stuff, you might want to get ahead. You might want to know what you're looking at. Maybe you can you can jump the shark a little bit and you can get to these guys before everyone and all these players are in your faces. And that's what Bogman has done. He's got the NFL Draft pre-combine positional ranks. They're available at the ITL Army as part of our group, our sergeants or above, and you will get the top 10 running backs, quarterbacks, 15 receivers, and 10 tight ends. So, Bogman, how do you want to approach this? Do you want to approach it by position? Do you have an overarching statement before I ask you a few questions?
Well, here's my overarching statement. Is Saquon Barkley is going to be amazing. Yeah. He is. I asked, you know, our buddy John Lobb, I had him on the War Room podcast, and I asked him, you know, where would you put Barkley if you had to rank, coming into the NFL, Todd Gurley, Ezekiel Elliott, and Barkley? And he had Zeke, Barkley, Todd.
Got Barkley over Todd Gurley?
I have Barkley over all of them. I got Barkley one.
Oh,
Zeke
you mean as far
two,
as how they went
from
college to,
into the draft. So Barkley is number one on Kuiper's board. He's number one on Todd McShay's board. I think he's number one on Daniel Jeremiah's board. Barkley is the best player in this draft. It's just really tough for a lot of teams. You know, are the Browns going to take Saquon Barkley number one when they're in absolute desperate need of a quarterback?
But they do have the fourth overall pick as well.
Yes, which is a big deal. But I got to tell you, the Welsh, I think that if they pass on Barkley, he's not coming back to them at four. Either the Giants, who are in desperate need of a running back also, or the Colts, who have Frank Gore, who's 1,000, will wind up taking him because he is that type of a game breaker. Now, as far as fantasy goes, Saquon Barkley, I don't think can land in a situation like Ezekiel Elliott did. Right. Ezekiel Elliott came out of college and wound up with the best offensive line in the NFL and went berserk. I don't know if Saquon Barkley is going to wind up in that type of position as far as when we're drafting, you got to take Barkley over Elliott or anything like that. And I definitely wouldn't take him over Todd Gurley either. But I think that he is better than those guys coming into the draft. I think he's the number one overall player. I think he has this competitive mindset, man. He is going to do all the drills at the combine. All of them. He doesn't have to do any of them. He's still going to be a top five pick. He doesn't have to do any of them. I know you're really mad the Welsh that the Niners won some games at the end of the year because this is a dude that you really wanted your team to take. And, hey, maybe they trade up for him. It's a possibility. I don't think they have much after they trade that second round pick for Jimmy. But Barkley is going to be the dude in this draft.
Okay,
and
so it's
Barkley and everybody else.
Let's talk about this for a minute then, because we're not okay. Obviously, if you guys want the ranks, you got to go to the ITL Army and you can get all this stuff for your draft prep for fantasy, which is very, very important. I do this for MLB prospects, and Bogman does this for the NFL. It's I think it's key stuff here. You alluded to the Browns, and the Browns, you know, if they don't get their quarterback, blah, blah, blah. Now, I look, and I think there are about four or five quarterbacks that belong in the same conversation. Of the names, the Lamar Jacksons, Baker Mayfields, Rosen, Allen, and Darnold, you would say those are the top five, and they're in a relative tier that's not far off. Would that be accurate?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I think so.
So then how many of these guys are true fantasy relevant quarterbacks here? Because people could go deep if you're in super big, deep leagues and whatnot, but how many of those guys do you really see? I'm not necessarily saying like year one, but within the first couple of years are true fantasy value, because one of these guys very well could end up on the Browns, and that's a problem. And they can in some other places. If you had to pick one or two, you don't have to pick your number one guy if you don't want to do that as well, but give me a guy or two that you see as a fantasy relevant quarterback that maybe the Browns end up with.
I mean, all these guys could wind up being fantasy relevant and quick too. The problem with this draft class is all these dudes come with warts. You know, Josh Rosen has attitude problems and an injury history. Sam Darnold was way more effective his first year starting than his second year. Baker Mayfield, you know, people want to talk about his measurements because he's only 6 feet tall and all that stuff. Josh Allen was super inaccurate, and Lamar Jackson, you know, scouts are super afraid that he is a run first quarterback, which at this point he is, but the dude's super athletic. But I think it's the thing with Lamar Jackson, and he could wind up being the best fantasy asset here. If he winds up being drafted and starting, he is going to get rushing yards because a dude is, you know, he's like a right-handed Vic, man. He's really, really good. I don't think he has quite that arm that Vic had, and I don't know that he's as pro-ready as Vic was coming out of college, but he's really, really good, and he is going to run the ball. So I think that he could wind up being the best fantasy asset out of all of these quarterbacks, but I'm still going to have Josh Rosen ranked as my number one because I think he has – you know, when you watch his tape and that it factor for a quarterback, I think he has that. And that's, you know, Darnold has to be up there too. I don't know that Darnold is a guy that I would want being my quarterback every single week. But once you get to the playoffs, he has that clutchness. And I really like that. He puts it together at the end of the game. You saw him in the Rose Bowl against Penn State in that super awesome back and forth game. I like a lot of these guys. But if I had to pick one as... if they're all starting 5 years down the road, who's going to be putting up the biggest numbers? It would probably be Lamar Jackson.
Okay, so let's move back to running backs. You said Barkley is the number one guy. I think there are a couple other really interesting names here. Give me, now I'm going to phrase this and I'm going to put two players into one. Okay. Give me the Kareem Hunt, Alvin Kamara guy. The guy that's maybe not the obvious number two or even three type of player, but a guy that's, you know, maybe the fifth or sixth running back that, you know, put in the right situation might have the type of impact of Kareem Hunt and Kamara. And now acknowledge that is really hard to say right now because these guys don't have their spot. But just from a skill standpoint that you look out, given the right situation, you think these could be super underrated guys. This is probably somewhere maybe in your rank, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, something like that running back, which your rank might be higher than what the standard of people are talking about.
All right. So the Kareem Hunt guy, I would have to say, and he, this guy picked up a lot of buzz moving from the Senior Bowl because, you know, the practice that week, he wasn't that great. But in the game, Rashad Penny kind of went crazy in the Senior Bowl. He had that long touchdown catch for, it was like 72 yards that he took to the house. And he's a grinder, and he played really well at San Diego State. San Diego State has kind of been, you know, churning out these good running backs. I really like Donald Pumphrey coming into the draft last season, and he got hurt before the season started, so we didn't get to see him at all in the NFL. But, you know, Rashad Penny is a bigger version of Donald Pumphrey. You know, Donald Pumphrey's 5'6". Rashad Penny's 5'11", so he's the type of guy that can be a grinder, Kareem Hunt type. You know, you wind up in a good situation with a good team, and he's a guy that, you know, probably going to get drafted in the third or fourth round and take off for a team. An Alvin Kamara type, I think a lot of people are going to want to say John Kelly because he played at Tennessee, so that makes a lot of sense. But I would say Mark Walton with Miami, and he is actually getting Devontae Freeman comparisons. That's what I believe Daniel Jeremiah said, that he scouts have compared him to Devontae Freeman. And he had an ankle injury and didn't finish off at the end of the season. Travis Homer took over for him at the University of Miami after his ankle injury. But this dude, he has this burst of explosion. When he gets to the second level, safeties are not catching him. He's a little small. He's 5'9". But he's got a thick frame. He's 205, and everybody talks about what an athlete he is. I think that he is a guy that can make an impact without having 20 carries a game, without having 20 touches a game. You know, if he gets 10 rushes and a couple catches, I think that's why I would put him in that Alvin Kamara type of a role, because he's a little bit smaller and he doesn't need all of the touches to make an impact.
I mean, that definitely, like, I mean, that right there, you just solidified what does that Kamara role mean. And that's somebody that doesn't need, like, major, major impact. Is there anyone else you want to talk about in running backs, or do you want to go to the wide receivers?
I mean, you know this, the Welsh, and I'm probably going to fight it, but I love Akram Wadley. I just love that dude. I mean,
you,
I can...
Well, you don't have to say where you have him. Is he in your top 10?
He's in my top 10, okay. Yes. And I know a lot of people. I was talking to Andy Singleton, and he said, I can see anything from Akram Wadley getting drafted in the second round to going undrafted. A lot of teams are saying that he cannot protect the quarterback, but he wasn't really asked to at Iowa. So it's something that he's going to have to learn. And he's smallish. He's 5'9", too, but unlike Walton, who's 205, he's 188. So he's a small back, but you just watch him in the open field, man. He's making players miss. He's a patient runner. He has great vision. So as a running back, he's really good. He's definitely going to have to learn how to pass block because in the NFL, you're going to be asked to do that a bunch. But I think that he can do that, and he is a great, great runner. So he's just going to be high on my list, and I'm going to be unapologetic about it.
I love it. I love that stuff. All right, wide receivers. Last year's wide receiver crop looked pretty solid. Production, the exact opposite. Though there were a couple guys that dropped in later. So the first part of the question is, do you think the core of this class is going to be similar in, I don't know, I mean, maybe there was more hype with those guys that didn't pan out. Like, do you think the top five are going to have less or more production from this year's top five?
Man, that's tough to say. You know, wide receivers are the toughest to predict, and we don't know where these guys are going to land. But I like this class. A lot of people are saying that it's weak, the wide receiver, and I think it's just not top heavy. I don't think we have a guy that's going to go in the top 10 at all. We might not have a guy that goes in the top 15 at wide receiver. I think Calvin Ridley is going to be the first guy off the board, and the highest I can see him going is to Baltimore at 14, because they really need a wide receiver.
I've seen a mock with Ridley to the Niners, which I think the Niners have 9 or 10.
Yeah, they have the coin flip still, but I just don't know. You know, Ridley is in the NFL, he's a wide receiver two. He's not a wide receiver one. He's very, very good, but he's definitely not a wide receiver one. And you don't have that type of a player in this class. You know, Cortland Sutton is super raw. Auden Tate is super raw. Deion Kane, not as raw as those guys, but he's still a little bit raw. Equanimeous St. Brown from Notre Dame. I mean, good Lord, they had terrible quarterbacks. Quarterback play for him. He was much better with Kaiser, and this year with Wimbush,
Sounded like you started doing the East-West Shrine Key and Peele thing. Like, what was that? Equimini?
Equimini St. Brown, wide receiver from Notre Dame.
Look newest album from Outkast is what that sounded like.
Watch his tape and tell me who he reminds you of, because body-wise, and I'm not comparing him to this player even a little bit, but body-wise, he looks like A.J. Green to me.
That's a big comp. All right, last one before we get out of here. Who of those receivers is going to be like this year's Juju Smith-Schuster? Like, kind of similar to the running back thing. Guy goes 5 or 6 or 7, and he outperforms either all or a decent amount of the class, if you had to pick one.
I'd say Christian Kirk, because I think Christian Kirk can come in and he's probably going to get drafted in the second round at some point, maybe the third round. And he's going to come in and he can play the slot role right away. He's also going to be returning kicks. So I think that he can be an immediate contributor for whoever takes him.
Okay, I dig it. Well, everyone should go and check out InThisLeague.com. That's our main website. That's where you can find all the aggregation of podcasts and articles. I just put up a top 100 for fantasy baseball prospects. It's a prospect list, but it's built for fantasy, which you don't see a whole lot.
Is it built for speed or for comfort?
A little bit of both. That's how we like it. A little speed and comfort. We've got all the podcasts there as well. You'll find the links to go over to the ITL Army. Not only is it the best way to support us, but you also can get like awesome access to just what you heard. You're going to get the prospect list for football, for baseball. You're going to get secret shows. And we even have a discount for people looking for our book. But if you don't want to join the Army, that's okay too. Just go to Amazon, search 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates, and buy it. It is only $6.99. That's
nice.
$6.99. If you want, you can go on to InThisLeague.com as well if you want to purchase it there. That's totally cool. Just buy it. 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates, InThisLeague.com, Amazon, and you can find all the podcasts. Bogman, there you go. We just did 3 hours. We'll give it a rating.
We'll
give it a rating.
10 out of 10. 11 out of 10. We're amazing. We're great at this. Give us more hours.
I like it. Give us more hours and buy our books, please. So be on the lookout for that. Books, podcasts, and more. In This League has got you covered for this fantasy season. That's Scott Bogman. I'm Chris Welsh. This is In This League. Enjoy the rest of your day, night, whatever it is, right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Peace out, all.
See you.